The concern for cleanliness in the book of Leviticus appears to us to be almost pathological. The book goes on and on and on about clean and unclean animals, impurity caused by childbirth, sexual activity, and leprosy. Not quite sure how all three of those go together. And, you know, although the origins of some of these laws may have been fears about public health, in Leviticus, the primary concern is with ritual purity. The ritual purity of the covenant community and its priests. The laws dealing with clean and the unclean had little to do with morality and sin. One could become unclean by accident. Rather, the rules came from a conviction that God is holy and pure, and those who approach Him, both His priests and His people, must be holy and pure. For the people of Israel to observe these laws was a sign of respect, of reverence, and the awe that they had before the Holy One. The rules governing leprosy are confusing to us today because the word leprosy was applied not only to Hansen's disease, but also to other forms of skin disease, including some that were temporary and curable. If a person had such a disease, which was thought to be infectious, he was put out of the community until he was cured and purified. And if he did not get better, he could be permanently excluded from the community. Today, of course, Hansen's disease is curable, or at least controllable by modern drugs. But the name leprosy still strikes fear into our hearts. So it's easy to imagine how it terrified the people of Jesus' time. Catching leprosy meant not only being sick, but also being excluded from your family, your friends, and your community. The parallels between leprosy and AIDS are obvious. Both leprosy and AIDS are painful illnesses that instill fear and often result in exclusion from family and friends, and isolation from the community. The response of Jesus to leprosy was striking. He did not turn away. He violated the rules and taboos of his people and his religion by stretching out his hand and touching the leper. This was a no-no. But Jesus wanted to cure the man. He wanted to bring him back into the community. And elsewhere in the Gospels, he teaches his disciples that sickness, including leprosy, is not a punishment for sin. Paul tells us to be imitators of me as I am of Christ. If we are to be imitators of Jesus, then we must respond to those with AIDS just as Jesus responded to the leper. We must reach out. We must touch. We must support efforts to cure the disease. And we must invite them into the community of Christ's followers. We must stand with Christ and the church and say that AIDS is not a punishment for sin. No more than cancer or heart disease is a punishment for smoking. We should support health care as a right for everyone, not just for those who can afford it. And we should insist that hospice care and pain relief be provided for the dying and not simply terminate their lives. The sick and the dying were central to the ministry of Jesus. And they must always have a special place in the Christian community. Like the leper, the sick and the dying feel isolated, alone in their pain. But Christ wants to reach out to them. It is through our hands, our hearts, and our voices that Christ can comfort the sick and the dying today. Our culture worships beauty and good health. Sickness and death make us nervous and uncomfortable. We want to hide them from sight. We put them in institutions where we can ignore them and pretend they're not around. We have not made all that much progress since the time of Leviticus. The sick and the dying remind us too much of our own vulnerability. They remind us of the temporary character of our existence. And this can be frightening. Yet for the Christian, this should be another reason for loving the sick and the dying, because they remind us that we do not have here a lasting city. They remind us of the suffering of Jesus, who shared human pain and death. But even in death, Jesus reaches out from the tomb and touches and heals. Our faith is not based on Jesus' ability to heal, to cure the sick. Our faith is based on God's love that raised Jesus from the dead and promises us eternal life and love. But it's not just the physically sick that we should care for, but also those who are spiritually and emotionally broken. Pope Francis says that the church should be like a field hospital that takes care of the wounded, not a place for the healthy and the strong and the perfect. When we meet a wounded person, we don't preach to them and tell them how bad or stupid they were to get wounded. No. We bind their wounds and embrace them with love. We care for them. We follow the example of Jesus and reach out to the wounded, to the sinner, to everyone, so that all are truly welcome when we gather around the Lord's table. We're all wounded in one way or another, and it is by caring for one another that we are healed. As we continue this Eucharist, we commit ourselves to the care of each other. And we ask to be strengthened and healed by the bread of life and the cup of salvation. We pray that through this Eucharist, we might be transformed into the body of Christ so that we can be a healing presence in our world, so that we can reach out and touch, can reach out and care for the sick and the dying.